welcome to everyone this morning. We're so thankful to God for this good day that He has given to us. I just made an important discovery singing that song. If you have a menthol cough drop in your mouth and you are singing with a mask on and you try to chew up that mint and swallow it before you sing, everything comes up into your eyes. And so I am trying to figure out how to keep my eyes open without them watering too badly right now. But just a little tip there if you need that. So glad once again to have everybody here this morning, and want to invite you to take out your Bibles, follow along with us as we study the Word of God together. What a privilege that is. We're so thankful that we can do that. As we have stated, the elders this year have made our aim for us to have the theme as we look to this new year that God has given us to talk about the help that the Lord can give to us. And we all need that help. I know that I do. And we want to, from month to month, look at least once a month, if possible, at that theme and to think about that subject as we go throughout the year. This morning, I want for us to continue that. And in particular, I want for us to focus in our attention on this subject today, and that is the idea of being a good steward. Such an important ideal for us as Christians, for every man and woman in the world to think about, but for us as the people of God, our stewardship is such an important issue and something that we need to consider every day. So I would like for us to turn our attention to that subject together today. That word in Greek carries the idea of someone who manages a household. That Greek word carries the idea of an administrator or a manager that is over the care of a household. And automatically, usually when we think of someone that was a steward, our minds are transported back to the time of Joseph, who served in Potiphar's house as an administrator of his household, who delivered to him and trusted him with everything that he had. And he placed that into his hand that he would care for that he would preserve that and grow that and be one that was over that household. That was with a view to bringing glory to that household. The same thing is true for us. We are administrators over the things that God has given us. We're to bring glory to His household. We're to bring glory to Him. And so we pray that we can do that, and we need the Lord's help in that. I want for us to look at some things regarding stewardship, and especially as we begin to think about what undergirds stewardship. What is at the root of that idea? At the root of that idea is that God owns everything. That in the truest sense of the term, that I don't own anything. That's not, we think of ourselves as owners, but I want to say to you this morning that in the truest sense of that term, that does not occur. We are not owners in that truest sense. C.S. Lewis said about that something that I found profound. He said, every faculty you have, your power of thinking, or you're moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that was not, in a sense, His own already. And then he talks about the relationship of a father to a child. And he says, it is like a small child going to its father and saying, Daddy, give me sixpence to buy you a birthday present. It is all very nice and proper, but only, and my mama told me not to say this word, so you kids, this is just part of the quote, that only an idiot would think that the father is sixpence to the good on the transaction. And I know I speak from experience that my children for many years bought me gifts from what I gave to them. And they took what I gave to them, and then they returned that to me in the form of a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. Some of them still do that, by the way. They're still giving me what I'm giving them. But in the truest sense of the term, that's what God is doing with us. And when we give to Him, we are giving Him His own resources. We are giving Him of what He has blessed us with. And we need to understand that. I think we can appreciate that when it comes to what we give to God. I want us to focus in on that idea. In Psalm 24 in verse 1 in the Old Testament, the psalmist speaks to that. And basically what he says is that the story of stewardship is as old as the creation itself. And when we think about our responsibility to God, what we understand is that in terms of stewardship, that goes back to the very beginning. That man was created by God and all of the earth is made by Him. And he says there, David does, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Adam and Eve were put in control of this earth and they were told, you have dominion over this. You care for this. All of the animals were put in His care. The earth was put in His care. God blessed them, and what He created and what He owned by right, He gave man a measure of authority over. But it's His. Everything's His. I don't own anything. And that's a lesson that has to sink down into the deepest part of who we are. We are only stewards for a short time of what God gave to us. And the psalmist later, just a few psalms over in Psalm 50, asked this question. He says, if God was hungry, He wouldn't come to you. He wouldn't ask you for anything. And he's obviously speaking there in hypothetical terms in what he's saying there. But the psalmist in Psalm 50 in verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. God is in control over this world. He owns every bit of it. He owns us. And it has been that way from the very beginning of creation. And everything that we see and everything that we touch and we do, all of that is related to God. And it's all His. And we are not, folks, owners of anything. It is like that song that I used to be a great Don Henley fan. I think he stole it from George Strait. But he said, you don't see any luggage racks on hearses. And that's the truth. You're not going to leave with anything. You are not getting out of this place with anything, because you just don't own it. In Psalm 89 and verse 11, again, the psalmist says, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. And so He has trusted us with this wonderful administration. And He has given to us for a time an ability to take what is His and to use that. And it belongs to Him. Some time ago, you know, oftentimes we are fooled into thinking that these things are ours. Not too long ago, I was in a parking lot and I was looking for my car, went into the store, came back out, got into my car, went to turn and put the key into the ignition and it wouldn't start. And I began to try harder as what's going on here. And I was in the wrong car. It smelled a lot better than mine. I should have known that it wasn't my car, but it looked like mine. And we think of that, and we can be fooled into thinking that things are ours. And it's not a matter when it comes to these things of misidentifying. We leave with nothing. We come with nothing, and we leave with nothing. You know, I imagine your kids are a lot like mine. I think probably most children, when they come into this world, their first three words as they're beginning life are generally mama and dada. And then the third one, mine. It's mine. We learn that very early. We want to identify something as belonging to us. That's important to us. We want to control those resources as best we can and lay claim to things. That starts very, very early. And so when we think about this idea of stewardship and that God owns it all, we have a responsibility. And owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. So often we talk about our rights. That's what we do as Americans. We think that the country owes us something. We think that the government owes us something, that our fellow man owes us something. And so we have all of these rights. But really what we need to be doing is thinking more in terms of our responsibilities. And if we could understand that, we would maybe turn our attention more to what we can do rather than what can be done for us. And how we can serve rather than being served. And what we can offer more than what we can obtain. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you will, in your New Testaments. God has entrusted us with the preservation and development and enjoyment of what He owns. And He has given to us of His grace, and He has asked us to hold true to that grace, to enjoy that gift, and then to share that gift. That's what He's asked of us. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, He says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." He has given to us of His grace, and He has asked us then to take that grace and administer that grace in the right way. To take what He has presented to us, that He has entrusted us with, and then do with that good things, as He says in verse 11. And He talks about the way that one speaks and the way that one ministers and the things that we do, that comes from what God will supply, but as good stewards. The vital thing when we think about stewardship is that someone's trustworthy. Nobody is going to place someone as a steward if they don't think they're sincere. They don't think they can trust them. If they don't have a degree of honor about them and they're not dependable in the execution of His will, they will not last long as a trustee of what God has given them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And then in the text that we read this morning, God is looking for that. He is looking for those who would be wise stewards, who would be faithful in terms of what God has given to them, that they will serve in a way that is profitable unto Him. And you know, I just want to say to you that that's not the big stuff. We're not talking about just big things or the grand things that God can give us that we think of. I want to do something great for the Lord. It's not just those big things. It's the smallest of things. And I think we can learn a lot about character from the very smallest of things. How do we deal with those jobs that nobody notices or cares about? Or how do we, when we're entrusted with some small task, just in our faithful execution of that task? Men and women given responsibilities in the Lord's kingdom, and they take that on with a degree of stewardship and understanding, you know what, I've got prayer this morning. I'm going to prepare for that. Or I'm going to do what Pete did, and I'm going to reach out and say, what's the reading for today? I want to look over that a few times. Or Bible class teacher for the smallest of little bitties that prepares for that class and wants to teach those children. It's not the big things only. It's the small things as well. And Luke chapter 16 and verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." So let's think about this responsibility in terms of our bodies and our lives. We think about, as stewards, the responsibility that we have to use our bodies in such a way that God would have us to. Acts 17 and verse 25, Paul said, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has given us our bodies. He has given us our lives. He has given us this day. And how do we do with that, what God has given us? You're alive because of Him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I don't even own me. I talk about my and my and my and I, and I don't even own me. So if I don't own me, how can I own anything? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That ought to change the whole structure of our day and my understanding of me when I get that, when I truly understand that. And my job is just redelivering what God has given to me, and I'm just giving that back to Him, because after all, it's His. That is essentially what Romans 12 and verse 1 is saying when it says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, which is your reasonable service. Makes sense to me. By right of creation and redemption and His constant care in His providence, I belong to Him. And so when we think about all of that, it relates to our time. That we redeem the time, that we walk in wisdom toward those that are outside. This is a limited thing that we have, and how am I going to administer that? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says much the same thing. We're all given 168 hours in a week. We're all given the same amount of time. And it's the administering of that time. It's the usage of that time that we need to number our days. This is our greatest resource that we have. Related to time is opportunity. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Time and opportunity go much together. Ben Franklin said, dost thou love life, then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of. We're stewards of that. Stewards of that clock. We're stewards of our families. Children are a heritage given from God. The fruit of the root of the womb is a reward. They're like arrows given to us. And here are these arrows that we administer and we use, and we just try to shoot them in the right direction as God would direct. And we observe people like Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19, who God commanded to teach His children, and He did. And then we see others like Eli, who God judged very harshly, and He said, your children were not doing well, and you did not restrain them. You didn't discipline them. You didn't spank them when they needed spanking. You didn't administer that kind of discipline that they needed. That's part of our responsibility, fathers, to administer that discipline, to take to them that rod of correction which God speaks of. That's not the world's decision. That's part of our stewardship. And I need to think about that. We're not you. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. Thankfully, there are cars to be taken away and things like that. But that's our responsibility. How I deal with my spouse, that I am responsible to her, that she is responsible to me, that we are stewards of the household that God created and that He gave to us. The vows that we kept, that one flesh relationship that requires good stewardship. Stewards in terms of this family relationship, and the care that I have for you and you have for me, and the encouragement and the edification that we give to each other in that relationship. We're stewards of that. And I need to stop and look and and think, how am I doing with that relationship? Elders are told in Titus 1 and verse 7. And given this responsibility, he says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. A steward of God is connected in that passage with not self-willed. And that's the idea of stewardship, and that's true for every one of us. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm getting. It's not about what I'm receiving. It's not about my rights. Just I'm a steward of what God gave me. It's about physical blessings. A lot of times when we think about stewardship, we think about money. And it is about that. That's something important that we need to think about. How do we administer the physical blessings that God has given us? And He truly has given us so much. I love Psalm 68, which talks about this in verse 19. And we think about the good gifts and the perfect gifts, like James 1 and verse 17 talks about. The psalmist expresses that in different terms in Psalm 68 and verse 19, where he says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Isn't that a great passage? He is not loading us down with this burdensome cargo that we have to carry around all day. He is loading us with benefits. It's a different kind of cargo that He's given to us. It's like a bird that has these extra things that the Lord puts on that weighs something. Feathers weigh something, although they're light. It is a weight, but it enables that bird to fly. What great things He has given to us. We are loaded with blessings and benefits. The wonderful grace of Jesus. And we think about that we could make this list, count our many blessings and make this list as long as we possibly could want to. Before we look at this, look back at Deuteronomy 8 with me, if you will. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 8. When we think of physical blessings, we need to be careful in terms of thinking about our money and our bank account. And recognize that even that falls under that umbrella of what is God's. That all things belong to Him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, He expresses that idea to the Israelites. He certainly were loaded down with blessings every day. And in verse 7, as they would come into the land of Canaan and God would help them to come into that land, "Lord, help me." He says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, and that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you." Now turn over maybe one page in your Bible to verse 17 and verse 18. Because a lot of times when we are loaded down with those blessings, we begin to think wrongly. And we begin to think, my, and I, just like that rich man. In verse 17, he says that, "Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." Don't get to thinking wrongly here. That this is something that you deserve. That this is yours because it's God and God has given you this ability. We're just stewards of what He's given us. God help us to use that in a way that would bring glory to Him. In addition to our stewardship, we think of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12, which says, "Let a man work that he might have to give them that are in need." And we think of also 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, which says that man should provide for his own. Our abilities, that parable of the talents, when men were given 5 and 2 and 1, and they are to take those talents and use them in such a way that would bring glory to God, that they would expand those talents and abilities that God has given. Well, we have that responsibility, and very quickly I want to mention just a couple of more things, and that is we have an accountability relative to that. We have that responsibility, but we have an accountability. And one day, folks, we'll be called to give an account of our management. One day we will. One day we will come before God and we will have to answer for the kind of stewards that we have been and how we have administered those things that He has delivered to us. Our time, our money, our abilities, our relationships, the gospel, all of the things that He has given to us. And there is a degree of variation in those things. We understand that we're all given different things. And some are given more than others. More ability in certain areas. More capacity for certain things. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to whom much is given, much will be required. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. I'm thankful for that. I'm only going to be judged for me, and I won't be judged for you, because you have a lot more capacity in certain areas than I do. It's just about what I do, thankfully. Luke 12, verse 48. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Our time is to be engaged now. The right time for that is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 makes that very clear to us as we think about that. He says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The things done in the body. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to what God has entrusted us with, his word, How are we doing with our stewardship? Are we teaching that? Are we growing in that? Are we taking that word which has been committed to us? As 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says that he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Are we spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is it more like Haggai 2 and verse 19 where he asked that question? Is the seed still in the barn? How about our administration of those things? And we sing that song, into our hands, the gospel is given. How are we doing with that? Well, thankfully, stewardship brings a reward. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24 talks about an inheritance that awaits us, that we will receive our reward, and that a joyful service awaits us. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. He has placed wonderful treasures into our hands. Is there anybody in here that hasn't received that? That hasn't been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? He has given us his very Son. And of all the wonderful things that he has given to us, the most precious thing that he has placed in our hands is his very Son. And that brings so much opportunity. And that brings so much life to us. That grace that has been extended to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll close with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. In terms of all of these things that we've talked about this morning, he is the owner, and I am the steward. And I hope that we might think about this morning as we think about our lives and we think about the way we even speak of some of these things that are in our lives, the way that we approach things, the way that we talk to one another about things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 7 asks this very, very important question that we need to consider. And he says there in verse 6, and notice that this comes on the heel of verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And then in verse 6 he says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. How could we be prideful? How could we be puffed up when we recognize properly who God is and what he owns, and that is everything? And he says, for who makes you differ from another? No, we're all the same when it comes. That's the great equalizer. What makes you different than another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? All of these things that we consider, God has given to us. This morning we want to extend an invitation to each and every one that might be here. If someone is here and they have not received the grace of Jesus Christ and become a Christian, to take advantage of that opportunity to be a steward of His mercy and His grace and His love, what God has provided to us. This is an opportunity that you have to make your life right with the Lord. And He talks about that in Acts chapter 2. To be willing to change the direction of my mind, to repent, to change. I'm not going to be that guy anymore. I'm going to crucify that man. I'm going to put that old man to death, and then I'm going to bury him in the waters of baptism. As he says in Acts 2 and verse 38, and Mark 16 and verse 16, buried with him in baptism, and then raised to walk in newness of life, then a steward of what he has prepared for me. If there is someone here this morning that needs to do that, we'd love to help you with that. And encourage you, if you have that desire, to come to the front while we stand, while we sing.